the one that was in charge of the unit, of the ward. And she didn't want me to go, but I know she was doing it just to be mean. So I left. And then I went, my husband and I went to the doctor, and the doctor examined him. He says, you know what, your eye's gone. So you have to, the thing you can do, I refer you to UCLA, to the Julian Stein Foundation, and see what they can do up there, because they have all the, I mean, they do research there, and they better than I do, because if I do, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So yeah, he gave us a referral note, and I took him up there, and they took him in, and he had to go for different tests, different days. When they were all finished with his tests, they told him, came out and says, you know, that eye is gone. That eye is gone over the hill, so you might as well face it. You only have to use one eye. And you have to be careful with your other eye, too. So he kept going for tests, because this was something very rare, you know, they wanted to do research on his eye. And so my doctor, the one, Dr. Ciardo, we told him about his case. Then he told me, you know what, tell him to take niacin, see how it works. Because niacin is good for your eyesight. So I did. I bought him a bottle of niacin and said, now you take this every time. If you can't take it, I'll keep it here, and every time you come over, I'm going to give you some. He said, okay, I'll take it. And do you know he regained his eyesight back after today? And he's supposed to be going to UCLA for checkups. They were so, oh, no, we don't even go to the UCLA. That's how it happened.
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about him. You met him through this
friend. Uh-huh.
And he had been married before?
Yes, he was a widow. His wife died.
And he had several children.
Two girls. Mm-hmm. And they were both married.
Mm-hmm.
One had just had the first baby, and the other one was expecting her first baby.
And what sort of things how would you spend your time with each other? What sort of things would you do?
Well, we were both working, and we'd go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out for dinners, because I'm not the type to be in like crowds. And I don't like nightclubs and stuff like that, so we would find a different, go to the mountains, go on long rides, you know, to different places, like, and, because I like to see, I like to go to museums and all that things, and that's how we, in fact, up to today, that's how we spend our time.
Now, you've mentioned before that you kept your money separate, though. With each of the husbands, when you worked, you kept your own money? And then when you married, Brian, you also kept your own money.
Yes, because, see, my three husbands can handle money.
Mm-hmm.
I can give him $20, and then $20 would be gone, and he'd go to the supermarket, or he'd go and buy some beer, because he likes to drink, too. But not if he can control it real good. And at least the other ones didn't admit it, but he admits it. He says, no. He tells them, no, I like to be broke. Because you'd be surprised, when I need money, she digs money. I don't know where she has it. When we bought this house, he was surprised, because we bought it conventional. We had to have $5,000. Yeah, I had my savings. And the only thing that was missing was 2 weeks vacation. That's the only thing that I was charged is 2 weeks vacation. And he just can't believe. So from then on, he trusts me.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't ask me how much money you have or what you did with the money, because he knows that when he needs it, it's right there.
So he turns all his money over to you, and you managed the money. Then.
Yes. He signs his check, and he turns it over to me. We go to the bank, and then we'll do pay all my bills first. And the first thing I pay, and then we do grocery shopping or whatever we have to do. Now I'm saving because I want to fix the home. I want to have it stucco outside and have the whole thing painted inside.
Now, when did you buy the house, Bella?
We bought this house in 1972.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, I want to ask you more about your life since you quit working, but as your daughter, here you're someone who basically worked most of your life after you were married.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have in mind for your daughters in their future? What did you think their life would be like? What did you want for them?
Well, I wanted to send them to school. I wanted them to get a good education. Mm-hmm. But my main concern was if they decide to get married, to be good wives and good mothers, provided their husband was all right. And if not, well, don't stay with him. Don't waste your time. So when they were married, when they got pregnant, I told them, okay, you're married, you're going to have a child. I don't ever want to hear you say that you're going to work like I did. I want to stay right there with your children, see them grow, because it's such a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And if your husband work, well, you learn how to manage with what you have and try to live within your means. Don't go and that poor man, we get him in debt because he want a mansion. We can't live like the millionaires. Because a lot of people make mistakes. So you stay right. Have a little, as you get along, you get, but don't overdo it. So Norma was the first one. And she had a rough way to go with her husband. So he left her with five children. Mm-hmm. They were small, too. And but then at that time, she says, no, you have five children. Now, I'm not ashamed for you to go and ask for help. So you can be a mother and stay right there with you. Because then it was a time when all those drugs and all mm-hmm. this stuff was coming out. So she did. She went and she applied right away. The state aid helped her. And she raised her kids. Her oldest one is 30 years old. He was since he graduated from high school. He started with Chrysler and he's still there. He's got three children, and he's turned out to be a really good husband and father. And now the other one, that graduated in 69, Clementine, she started working over in L.A. in the stock exchange, in Spring Street, and she stayed there till she got married.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and Vincent is working in the, let me see, that in the airplane, North America or Rockwell. He's been there, too, since he finished school. He's married and has a little boy and a little girl. And now Camille is still single.
Mm-hmm.
She's 25, almost 25. And Albert, now Camille is about 27 and Albert's about 25. And they both work in the
mm-hmm.
Stock exchange of downtown L.A.
Why did you object to the idea of normal working?
Because to my experience,
mm-hmm.
it was awful hard to take care of a home and take care of your children properly while you was out working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have to work, well, I don't see any reasons why. See, I learned that through my experience.
Mm-hmm. So if you had it to do over again, you would not work?
I don't know about me. You know, because, see, I learned how to take care of myself. I learned, see, the world was different when I was growing up, even in my working up to what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
When they were young, they started, is that going to come out on the tape?
No, wait till it takes off.
Yeah.
About your feeling about they're not working, even though you have. Mm-hmm.
See, because when I was growing up, and even in my working days, everything in the world was different. You know, the people were different. We didn't have no drug problems, no alcohol. I don't remember. I didn't see an alcohol. And Sam, he never did turn alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But heavy drinking, I never grew up. My parents, my mother, they never smoke or drink. I never see anybody drinking around.
Mm-hmm.
See, but not when they grew up, it was different. Then you buy liquor in every corner, and then the drugs start coming in during the war. And it was just terrible. I was just, I didn't know what to think.
Mm-hmm.
Then I see a lot of young girls their age were just going wild and and having babies, and it was just terrible. So I couldn't. I was afraid that they was if they would go to work and leave their children, they would, you know, start getting wild.
I see.
So that's the reason that I of course I'm not. I have no regrets that I would, but I didn't want them because the world was already it was a different world than the one I knew.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you feel about their both marrying so young?
I have no regrets, and according to other girls that I've seen their ages and the way that things were, no, I have no, I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
And what happened with Monica? Did she married when she was 16, you say?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No, Norma.
Oh, and Monica was?
15.
Uh-huh. And what happened with her life after she married?
She's still married, and she...
Not Monica's one who lives next door.
Uh-huh. Yeah, her husband works. Mm-hmm. He still works. And her kid, the older one, Roxanne. Roxanne is 22. I get them mixed up, 22 or 23. She was born in 1957. She works for the radio station KZLA. I'm public relations director. And Frankie, the other one, he works for the Monterey Fire Department. He's a firefighters, we call them firemen, they call them firefighters. In fact, he was the youngest one, but he went in at 19.
Now, did Monica work then after she was
married?
No,
Monica or Norma has never worked. And now, Norma, after the kids were grown, then her husband appeared in the picture again. Different. And he wanted them to make up again, but he was different, so... I says, no, it's all up to you now. Mm-hmm. Your kids are grown, and everything I expect of you, you did, and you try anyway. So now it's all up to you. If you want to go back to him, okay, now it's up to you. So she did. She says, well, I'm going to be alone. She never did say that. I never once saw Norma leaving her children or going out or having another man. Wherever you see Norma, you see the little ones, just like a little chicken. But now Nick helped her an awful lot. We helped her an awful lot all the time she was alone.
Now, do any of your children have any Spanish identity at all?
No, because very few from natives from California the children have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have more American ways. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't understand why they put in the paper all these things they put, that they can't speak English. Because now, say, for instance, like us, my children, we go to Mexico, we're not Mexicans. And here, where they treat us like second-hand citizens, so that's not fair, I don't think. But the paper prints out the worst.
They don't think of themselves as having any Spanish. Do they speak Spanish, any of your children?
Only Norma, the oldest, because my mother taught her, you know, she was 10.
Well, and what is your relationship with Yolanda?
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. She's the one that, and she really speaks fluent Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good Spanish.
Because I would think since she was basically raised
by my mother's bride. And she's 34 now.
Mm-hmm. And what does she do?
She's married, but she works too.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, it's different. She's with her husband, and I see that she's not, she works because she has to help with it. You know how everything is so high now, and if she wants to give the children a good education, I think she should work to help them. She has... five, so I don't. Now Norma and Monica were worse. Now her, why? The way things are now, that almost everybody has to work in order if they want to make a living and they want to send the kids to school. Just like Billy Boy, my first grandson from Norma, the one's for Chrysler. Well, he never did believe his wife working, but now she just got a job, but she only works so many hours because. They have the children in Christian school, Lutheran school. Mm-hmm. She's Italian. And it cost them quite a bit to keep them in that school. So now through the church, she found this place. Mm-hmm. She just did, like, filing and clerk, you know, typing and all that.
Did any of your children marry Spanish or Mexican men? Or did they all marry white Anglo men?
No, they didn't marry Anglo. Now, Monica's husband is a French. His dad was French and Spanish. Norma married a Mexican fellow from California. He don't speak English. He don't speak Spanish either. I mean, that's right. He don't speak Spanish. He speaks English. But
and Yolanda married.
She married a Mexican boy too. Yeah. So.
And he was from Mexico or from California?
From California. They're all California boys.
So they still don't speak Spanish.
They still don't speak Spanish. Or the grandchildren. At least Norma and Monica and Yolanda. See, Yolanda. Of course, she's forgetting it now. You know, with her children, they don't speak. And Monica used to speak it good too, but now with her children and they all speak English. There isn't one of my grandchildren that I can say speak good Spanish, or they can even speak the language. Now they get mad at me.
Though their fathers are of Mexican background, they still don't.
No, because they're from Spanish, they're natives from California. See, their background is from the roots from the Spaniards of California. So you don't. Those kids don't speak Spanish. You see?
Now, tell me what your life has been like since you retired, then, Balin.
I enjoy it. Of course, I don't. I stay home most of the time, but I enjoy my home. You know, I think I worked so long enough that I do enjoy my home. Now, I don't drive. I drive, but I don't want to drive no more. I take the bus. I enjoy the bus because all my working days were in the bus, especially in L.A. We started with the streetcars years ago. It was only a nickel when I was going to school. So, I take the bus. I go to L.A., then to Broadway, then to the Arco Plaza. I walk all over there. I sew. I keep busy doing something. My roses, my garden. Now, with my arthritis, I've been able to do what I'm supposed to do out there. And I bake. When I was home, I didn't even wash dishes because my dad wouldn't let me. But after I grew up and got married, I learned how to do a little bit of, I can cook, I can bake, I can doctor anybody that's sick. I learned how to do everything.
Is there anything that you would do differently in your life if you had it to do over again?
Very little. Very little.
What would that be?
I would go to college and take and learn the things that, either nursing or social work. Now, if I had my life over again, this is what I wouldn't change too much, but this is what I would do. I would take up nursing, all I could learn. And then I would go to different countries like India and all those countries of people where you need it. Where you know you're going to do something for those people and they're going to appreciate everything, every little thing you do. And my reward would be just to see those people smile. Money is not the best. That's what I would do. And if there is a reincarnation, well, I'm going to set that so when I come back, you know, they say that when you come back, you finish where you left off. So that's what I would like to do.
How about in terms of your marriages? Is there anything you would have done differently?
No, I don't think so because I think if a woman, see years ago men used to have the idea that a woman had to, they were the masters. They are. I consider my husband the head of the family. That's why even my money is separate because I don't want to take him away from their responsibility. Why should I could never see the wife come over and turn all her check to, and then put it in his pocket and then give her, I need some, sometimes they don't even get what then. I don't believe in that. And if it wasn't under those terms, I wouldn't be mad. I said, no, that's it, because I'm too independent. And the longer you work, the more independent you get. But I still have feeling that the money is not just mine. Like they say, I just use my money. No. That money I'll save, and if he needs anything, not saving today, tomorrow, my husband gets sick, well, I have enough money to see him through. But he didn't even know. You see? And I always think of those things. I could use that money for a lot of things. But in case an emergency or something happens, you gotta have reserve some way where you can say you don't have to go out and ask some people. Or, no, that's why I like to be thrifty with my money. I don't like to harbor money and do without things that I need, no. But I still like to have a little, I don't like to spend all my money.
How do you feel about the kind of changes that, what sort of changes do you see for women, young women growing up today? What do you think their life is like and the opportunities are like for them compared to when you were a young woman growing up?
I'll tell you something about the young women nowadays. They have good points, but they don't know how to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to them that I can see, that by the time these women get to be 50 or 60 years old, if they get to live to be that age, they're going to be a complete wreck.
In what ways?
The nerves. Because when you have to go out and fight for what you, with forever the whole world, there is a way to fight. But not that way. It's too hard on your nerves. And now with everything so open, sex, all these women changing into men, and I don't think that's healthy. Your body is, like they said, your body is a temple of God. You have to take care of your body. You can't misuse your body. And in later years, don't suffer the consequences. We don't suffer them right then and there. It takes time.
When you say, like, women changing into men, what do you mean?
How do they call it? Homosexuals or... No, the women, they call them lesbians. Lesbians. That's what I...
I see.
That's... they might, I don't know, but I just by looking at them, some of them look so rough and so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can anybody survive age and life with that attitude, those habits?
How do you feel about things like the Equal Rights Amendment for women?
Well, I've fought them since I was in school. Okay? But they don't. They, some want to undermine them, and the poor man, he looks like a little. See, they don't know how to handle men. I've handled men all my life. But as far as sex or things like that, no, it wasn't either on their side or mine, because as they got to know me, they respected me. And I'd rather be in a room with 12 men, I know I was safe in there, than to be in a room with 6 women. I don't know what they were going to do. See, and now as far as equal amendments, well, yeah, but there's work that are men supposed to. Not like this police woman that you're going to be surprised. You don't be surprised if one of these days the police woman is killed over there, a police woman is killed over there. A woman don't have a certain capacity a man has to handle that things. Let me, I'm not about to move a refrigerator. That's a man. It's a man's strength. God created women with certain strength and men to do certain things.
How do you feel today about things like the abortion issue?
Well, and when I couldn't see why they didn't allow abortion at that time. But I'm very much against abortion too, on account protect their health. They ruin their health. They ruin the chances of that later on they want to have children and they can't. They sterilize yourself when you have abortions. Now we're having so many mentally retarded children being born. Now that's part of the pills that they put out. See, because those companies, they're not thinking about your welfare. All they want to do is make money and more money and more money. Let the people die. See?
When you're looking back on the warriors and working at Lockheed, what sort of effect do you think that had on your life? Did it make any difference for you, except that you got sick? But what do you think about that work during those war years? What kind of meaning did it have for you?
What do you mean? What?
Well, I'm wondering if it changed your life in any way. If you felt that, or if it was just another job along the way.
No, I. To me, that was part of my growing process.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd see my life all new experiences. I wanted to experience everything. I didn't just want to get married and stay home cooking and raising children and the husband would go out and leave me or come home drunk. That was not me. And I've seen so many children, so many babies around me. I think I used to resent my mother having so many children. So I said, when I get married, I'm not going to have any more children. Because at 14, 13, I was helping the doctor deliver the babies, my mother's babies, not in there and deliver, but I was in the kitchen warming water and things like that. So I didn't want no children. And I didn't want to be like my mother. Which my mother, my dad was, all she had to do was open her mouth and she got not everything that was coming out, she got it first. And my dad never demanded from her, one of those men that the guy has to be the macho type that they say. No, he wasn't that way. But I still couldn't see my mother just in the kitchen like, because that, to me, as I was growing up, that world was beautiful. I wanted to live it as long as I was in this world. And I did. In the right way, though. I kept in that middle lane, not the slow or the fast, right in that middle lane. And so all those things, I have no regrets. The regrets I had that I should have taken a little more care of my health. I took my health like the doctor told me out of you. He says, you know, you're a very healthy person, Dr. Stotz, I remember. He says, you're strong, you're healthy. But it was just that you made a mistake that you let yourself run down and you took care of this. Why did you do it? Did you know what she had? Well, I don't know. I felt sorry for her. She didn't have no place to go or anything. So I kept her in my house for a while nursing her. But I don't know. I guess I was stupid. And my children were there too. I had two. I was so worried about them.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Balin, that we didn't cover?
No. Up to today, I'm happy. Content, found peace of mind. I can live with my. I don't care anymore. I can live with myself. The world to me is not the world when I grew up. But it's getting worse and worse. It's getting terrible. Like we're hostages in our own country. So when you can't even go out because you don't know if somebody's gonna hit you over the head. And things that it seems like, starting from Washington, everybody's going crazy. They say one thing today, they want to do this, they want to do that, and then what happens? And somebody else comes in and says, no, you can't do that to us. So I even feel sorry for the presidents, to tell you the truth, because they're not their own men. They don't do what they, you watch tomorrow when Reagan talks tomorrow night at 6. Day after tomorrow, all these crowds are going to start saying, oh, you can do this march and going over here. Don't take this away from us. And they complain. Now, they complain that we're paying, around income tax. Oh, I'm paying so much income tax. Finding angles to lie, to say I won't pay income tax. Then they turn around, go to the races, spend all the money, and they don't think nothing is fun. They go to the liquor stores and buy all kinds of alcohol. To me, that's not the way to be.
So you've seen a lot of changes in the world.
Oh, yes, especially the way they are now, these women live. I think, sure, you should have that up to so much, you know. And I said, the job, how can a woman get paid the same work as a man that's doing a harder work and uses more of his intelligence? He's married, go home, his wife's got everything. Now this woman, she has to take care of her job, she has to take care of her home, she has to take care of her children. Before she knows, taking pills after pills, cocktail after cocktail. By the time they'll be 50, 60, they'll either be in a rest home or an institution or dead.